Indire, Independent Radio Exchange Network. Radio Show. Co-funded by the European Union. More at indire.eu.
And welcome to a new episode of IndieRe, Independent Radio Exchange Project, with the aim to promote unrecognized local indie and urban music production across multiple European countries in order to increase the transborder mobility of music creativity and improve the capacity of cultural operators for long-term sustainable and intercultural exchange. I am Patrick Domanico from Near FM Dublin, Ireland, and today we are gonna listen to a music selection of wow songs created by myself. If you like it, don't forget to start follow myself, but please do not follow me at home, just on social media. In this episode we are gonna have two interviews, Tommy Cullen and Don Minda, so stay tuned. In the meantime, let's continue our amazing journey with Houseplants, No Push Over.
Need a breakthrough to the other side. Need to claw my way back to life. Use some of that soft tissue in my head. That's it. Certainly not a lazy man. himself in all kinds of jams.
Named one of the most promising singer-songwriter in the country by Hot Press, Dublin-based indie artist Tommy Colin brings a unique voice and vulnerable lyricism to his deeply layered indie sound. The debut album, Enjoy the Glow, will be released next month with a launch show in the Soundhouse on the 26th of April. Welcome, Tommy, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. How's it going?
It's going very well, so thank you very much once again. So, Tommy, I'm very curious to know a few things about yourself. Okay, so first of all, when did you start playing music?
I think I started playing music when I was about 15 years old. That's okay. When I kind of started learning to play the guitar and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And then kind of started getting a bit more serious about it over the first couple of years. And then ended up going to do a 4-year music degree in college and put a band together and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, kind of since then.
Wow. I'm very impressed. Like there are a lot of artists here in Ireland that... they attend like a college in order to study music. So I think it's good, no? Instead of
I mean it's a big thing, and that place was kind of new when I went there. It had only been around for a year. It was BIM Music College, so that was like a brand new thing. And that college has kind of grown and grown, and there's like hundreds of new students go through that place every year. So it's
cool. And when did you realize, I said, okay, I have something to say, let me start writing music? So did you get a moment like that one, or how did you decide to start playing?
Kind of. I was just getting really, really into music properly when I was a teenager. It just became the big thing, I think that happens for a lot of people. And, you get really obsessive over certain artists and all that, and it becomes a really important part of, your identity. But then I'd kind of always been just making things, and like I drew a lot of pictures when I was a kid all the time, and then I'd I liked writing short stories, or like putting on little plays or making little movies with my cousins and stuff. And I think just once I started playing music and had been doing that for like a year or two and kind of starting to get to grips with playing and singing, it started to be my favorite way to make things up now, was to sing stuff, know? So that it just became my favorite kind of mode of creation, I guess.
Yeah, well, it absolutely makes sense, I think. Where do you get, inspirations for?
So it's usually, it's really different for every song. I don't think there's a lot of planning to it. It's usually one idea that kind of comes out of nowhere, and then you just kind of follow it until it fleshes itself out into something. So like as an example, there's a track on my album that opens the record, the first track, which was just I was taking a voice note on my phone of me playing a new melody on my guitar, just so I didn't forget it. Meanwhile, I had just moved in with my girlfriend at the time, this is a couple of years ago, and she was kind of talking to me in the background. We were about to go to IKEA to get some furniture for our new place, and so you can hear her in the background saying, "Oh, let's just take some measurements and then we can go whenever we're ready," and you can hear her like moving boxes or whatever. And that clip, I just thought something about it was really nice, and so that clip is now on the record. Like I made that one sort of 5-10 second clip into an entire track, added drum machines and keys and all this kind of stuff. So in that case, it was just, I don't know, that just came from being like, oh yeah, this is a big new thing, we're gonna go to IKEA.
Are you still together? No, I'm joking.
No,
the question was, and what's the name of the track?
That one's called Flatpack.
Flatpack.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, I ended up making that into I got two tracks out of that one, actually. Okay. So there's the first track on the album is called Flatpack Intro, and then later on there's like another song that uses some of the same bits called Flatpack. So yeah.
Okay,
but it could be anything like that,
Okay, I selected as a first song that we're gonna listen to together, released by you, is The Train.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. Can you tell just a bit about this song, even because it's a short song as well?
Yeah, it's really short. It's my most popular song on streaming and all that kind of stuff. It was actually the first song I released under my name, Tommy Cullen. Before that, I had been playing with this band for like 5 or 6 years, and I was releasing all my music with them. They were called The False and the Fair. We were like an alternative rock kind of band. And The Train was the first one I put out after that band broke up. I had started it my solo thing. So yeah, I don't know. I wrote that. I don't remember it being about anything in particular. Like, whatever's there in the lyrics is kind of whatever I was thinking about. I know that the lyric says, it's about a dream I had. I can't remember if that was an actual dream I had or if that's just something I like to say.
Well, I think some songs, so they belong to the period or the time when they've been written or released, no? Maybe this is the case as well, no?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that was, you know, that was a few years ago, I guess, maybe about 4 years ago now. And yeah, I don't know, it was a nice little one, and I thought it was a nice kind of simple tune to like put out as my first single and start the ball rolling, you know?
Super cool. So let's listen together. The Train, Tommy Cullen.
I have been having this dream a lot of late. You disappear on a train. I have been running around myself a lot, bifurcating my brain. What does that mean? I don't know, but I've been listening.
Okay, welcome back, Tommy Cullen, and not Johnny. I don't know why I said Johnny. Maybe, like, I don't know. You look like a bit Johnny.
That's all right. I can change it if I need to. Yeah.
The new music project will be Johnny, according to Patrick. Okay, so I would like to say thank you very much because bring your CD, the CD that will be released like the 26th of April. So it's a very cool packaging.
And, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. And can I ask you something? Do you think if it has a sense, still have a sense producing CD, vinyl, or do you think as an artist point of view, of course, just releasing some MP3 and that's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great to have something. Like, I love CDs and vinyl. I mean, I actually have got this record printed on vinyl as well, which I've never done before. I've printed stuff on CDs before. You know, I think it's great to have. If you're someone that loves that stuff, you know, it's amazing to have that stuff and hold it in your hand and have something of the artist that is a physical thing. I always loved reading along to, with, if there's a little booklet, which there is in this case, you know, to read along to the lyrics and see like who was involved in making the stuff and all that. I always loved all that stuff. But then, I mean, on the other side of things as well, I guess in the slightly more like business minded, you know, perspective, if you're an artist, it's good to have something to sell. So, you know, if you're going to play shows and everything like that, I think it's a big missed opportunity if you have a full release of some kind and you're not getting it on, you know, even if it's a tiny run of CDs, even if you get 50, 100 CDs or whatever it is, someone comes to your show, you know, there's going to be some people that are happy to
buy
that from you and that want to have that and have a memento from that night. So whether it's, I mean, I know people love t-shirts and stuff as well. I do t-shirts as well, but I think there's something cool always about CDs. And apparently CD sales in the past year have actually been up for the first time since like the 90s. So there is, it's starting to do that thing that vinyl did where it's enough time has passed that it's now starting to become a cool retro thing to have CDs. It's like becoming slightly that.
I am completely agree. I still buying CDs. In fact, it was like a curiosity because you look much more younger than me, of course, Tommy.
I don't know how much younger I am than you, but I...
A lot. Believe me, a lot. And but I still like and love buying CD vinyl because I belong to that generation that I really like exactly what you did, you know, like the book inside with the lyrics, some explanation. And I can also see, like, there's a picture where I can recognize, like, the Simineers in Dublin. They're like a kind of a iconic place, you know, for Dubliners.
Yeah, definitely. That was a fun photo shoot that we did as well.
And
for that.
Yeah, and also like the cover, no, everything. So the graphical project behind like the CD. It's everything your idea, or you asked for help to some artist?
Yeah, so I did that artwork. That's the cover. So that's a watercolor painting that I did with like black ink lines. But yeah, I did that.
And where people can buy the CD?
So it'll be available on my website, which is tommycullenmusic.com. Okay. So I mean everything is there. I tend to put my stuff up on Bandcamp as well. But there's actually quite a bit of cool stuff at my website where you can kind of get interesting behind the scenes stuff on the album and like some fun videos and stuff like that as well. So yeah, Tommy Cullen Music.
Not Johnny. Tommy Cullen.
TOMMYCULLEN Music.
Okay, we talked about using some IT expressions. We talked about the hardware, so the CD, how it looks outside. But let's talking about inside. What audience can expect from the music inside, the songs inside?
Yeah, so I mean, they're indie kind of singer songwriter stuff, I guess, would be the genre. It's quite a mix of tunes, you know. The songs are a fairly varied bunch, I would say, and I'm coming somewhat from that kind of DIY bedroom pop kind of perspective or like approach, because I play most of the instruments on the record myself. There's, you know, some drum machines and different types of keys and all this kind of stuff, so it's that kind of a palette. But I think the songs are, you know, there's quite a mix of stuff. Even so, I've put out three singles from the album so far that are on, you know, streaming and everything. Good Time, which is kind of more of a folk rocky kind of thing. All I've Never Had and Home, which both I would say have a little bit more of the electronic side of things going on and are pulling a little bit of influence from like some slightly anthemic 80s music and stuff like
that. I really
love
80s. I have just the last two questions. So the first one, Enjoy the Glow, why that title? And then the song I choose for introduce the album is Good Time. What's behind the song Good Time?
Yeah, so will I talk? I'll tell you about the album title first.
Yeah, Enjoy the Glow.
So Enjoy the Glow is a lyric from one of the songs, but it's sort of, I had written the songs, I was putting the album together, and I realized that like maybe three or four of the songs mentioned the word glow somewhere in the lyric, and I started thinking about why I had done that, and I thought of the glow as something that is some kind of intangible but maybe could connect between people. And I kind of actually thought of it in terms of The Shining. If people are familiar with, you know, the film or the book The Shining. The Shining is a name given to this kind of extrasensory perception that this kid has, right? And in The Shining, it's a spooky thing because he sees all these scary ghosts and stuff like that. But I was kind of thinking of like a nice warm version of that, where you could kind of communicate things without communicating things directly, which I think is what music does, you know, and it can kind of connect.
Cool meaning. And about a good time, what's about this song is that?
Yeah, so Good Time, I think, is... it's basically a bit of an anthem for not feeling great and saying a lot of times we're all in the same boat and we're dragging ourselves through a day, but maybe trying to make something that had a fun sound and that was kind of that brought the solidarity of that through and turned it into something that that is kind of positive. Like, so the chorus is, don't worry, nobody's having a good time. And it sounds kind of upbeat. And yeah, it was just about that, kind of feeling that.
Super cool.
It's okay sometimes. Super cool.
So, guys, let's listen to together Good Time. Thank you very much, Tommy. And don't forget to listen to all the album Enjoy the Glow.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you very much. And enjoy the song Good Time. Anzi, as we say in Italian, buon ascolto.
Nice.
Anybody out there having a good time? All right. Faith wakes up. Coffee fills a cup with a burning mirror. Last night gets nearer. Dark, all gray. Everything crawls today when it should be walking. Nobody talking. Don't you worry now, don't you cry. Nobody's having a good time. Nobody's having a good time. Don't you worry now, don't you cry. Nobody's having a good time. Nobody's there.
cry. Nobody's having a good time. Don't you worry now, don't you cry. Nobody's having a good time. Don't you cry. Nobody's having a good time. Don't you worry now, don't you cry.
Second interview of this amazing episode with me, Patrick Domanico, on your airways for another episode of Indire. And I'm very happy to introduce the new music band, Do Mind Da. They are a Dublin-based five-piece band consisting of Rue Whelan, Stephen Curtis, Lyke Cunningham, Sean Curtis, and Barry Lysat. Is it correct?
That's correct, yes.
It's, correct.
It's yeah, there's not many of us out there, but it's a fun surname.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have to share this secret with our audience. I think I spent 10 times before just with you correcting me if I was wrong. So welcome, guys, and thanks for accepting our invitation today.
Thanks for having us.
Delighted to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing, super cool. So, guys, I have a few questions that I want to ask. So, first of all, me, that I come from the south of Europe, the first time I read your name, I went straight away for Dominda. But you told me it's Dominda. What's the meaning of this word?
Yes, so Dominda, it's really, you're saying the word don't mind that in a Dublin accent. Yeah. So, again, it's something that we would say very commonly to each other.
Yeah, don't mind that.
Yeah,
if you go walk around the streets of Dublin, you'll hear people saying, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
In the sense of, don't mind that. It's just a slur in a way of...
yeah, it's slang, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of just saying, like, don't worry about it, just,
don't mind that.
Yeah, don't mind that.
Yeah. So I think we came up with it. Someone asked us what we were going to call our band, and we were not fussed about the name.
No.
So we were like, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, like, well, we were playing a gig a few years ago before we became properly official and going for the music, I suppose. And we were practicing away, and we had the gig that evening, went in to play it, never once thought about the name of the band. Someone asked us what the name of the band was before we got up on stage to announce us, and we were like, oh, we've never thought about this.
Yeah.
Don't mind that. It doesn't matter. Like, don't mind that. So yeah, they're like, okay, let's just go with that.
It's like, I don't care. Anyway, we are having in the studio today Barry.
Yes, Barry Lysat.
And Sean, because the rest of the people, where is the rest of the band?
We're all, I suppose, working professionals at the moment. So all over the world at the moment. So Stephen is currently in London. So he lives in London, commutes back and forth for gigs. He's the most committed member of the band. Rue is in work. He works out in Clontarf. And then Luke is in Sweden.
Yeah, he's stuck in Sweden.
Yeah, he was supposed to be back for the interview, but I think his plane got snowed in last night.
Cancelled, so he couldn't get home. Yeah. So hopefully he'll make it home today.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I was reading from your bio that you used to play together in different shapes of form, like duos, orchestra, and members of other bands, since they you were teenagers. So you have like a music inside you.
Yes, absolutely. So we were all in school together, and kind of growing up through school, we would
everybody. So
all five of us were in school.
Wow.
And then obviously Sean and Stephen are cousins.
Yeah, so Stephen's my cousin. So we grew up playing music together, and we live next door to each other. So we would come over and jam. I have the drum kit at home, and he would bring his bass over, and we'd just play together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were in another band at a younger stage, just messing around. And then I met the other three boys in school, and we just sort of clicked.
Yeah.
Started playing music a bit, jamming, and then...
Yeah, it was great. So, again, we kind of were playing very casually, and then, obviously, COVID happened. We weren't able to meet up with each other for a while, and that was kind of our great white hope for a while, I think, during those dark...
It means you didn't do, like, that was, like, this trend during the pandemic scene. Like, people used to play together via, I don't know, some... Skype or
we
didn't do that.
We never quite got that far. But as soon as things kind of relaxed and you could hang out with pods, I suppose
we go further from 5K around.
We immediately made a pod of us and yeah, we would be like jamming in Sean's sitting room and stuff like that. Yeah, and
just making a lot of noise, annoying the parents.
We actually put out a lot of stuff on like Instagram Live when we were doing that, just kind of
messing.
Yeah, but we got a lot of, we got a lot of positive responses to that, and
like it was mainly covers we'd be playing and just jamming around, learning a few fun songs. Like, what did we start as? What was our genre of music? I mean, we called ourselves.
We started off as very much glam
rock. Oh yeah, glam rock. And we're like, this is great.
So we played a lot of like Scorpions and The Darkness.
Yeah.
The Sound of Demanda now has kind of moved on from that.
Thankfully.
But it was again, I don't think we could have afforded the costume budget for a proper glam rock band.
Too much.
the high heeled platform boots.
Yeah. So then we kind of just strayed away and started writing our own music a bit when we got more into it. And that's where we sort of started to take it a bit more seriously, because we liked the music that we were bringing out.
Yeah. I think our first couple of gigs, really, after the lockdown, we were kind of playing friends' birthday parties and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it was always, like, started off very casually. And then I think it was really Luke and Rue that were, like, driving it forward in terms of, like, let's look for more gigs here. Let's not just play casually. Let's make a go of this.
Yeah, well, I really like this kind of feelings, you know, that you have, because I think it's clear that you have like friends, there is like some close connection. And I have a question. Okay, you said you are playing music since you were a teenager, and at one point you said, okay, let's try to take this one seriously. But what was the main reason? So why you said, okay, we have something to say that is not... that's not me told yet. I don't know if I said this one in English properly, but I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you. I suppose it is, looking at the Dublin music scene now, there's a lot of dynamic and exciting bands who are kind of doing different stuff to what you would normally expect. And that's really what we wanted to do as well. That's the voice we tried to develop, is like, we're not just kind of playing music that's A to B to C kind of predictable. Like, we are trying to be dynamic and exciting with it, and I think that's the voice we're trying to
bring our own joy into the music, and we love performing live.
Okay,
so we started performing live with mainly covers around Dublin, but then we kind of wanted to try play other venues in Dublin, but it's quite difficult if you don't have your own music out there. And we started to just expand the whole, our own portfolio, I suppose, and write more music in a hope that we can start to play bigger and better venues around Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a big one for us, was like actually releasing music onto Spotify then really, I suppose, gave us a lot of credibility.
Absolutely.
Like, they look, you kind of go to promoters and say, yes, we're a band, but go listen to us online, rather than before that it was like
a lot of refusals.
Yeah, it was kind of like, we're good, trust us.
And this is a question that I ask to everybody, every single artist that I will meet inspiration. How do you get inspiration? Why, where, and what's the main topic that you cover? If there is a main topic, or if you just jump from one concept to another one? Who wants to answer?
I suppose
it sounds a serious question. Sorry,
yeah,
serious. Can I change that?
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. I think there's not one source of inspiration that we're trying to emulate. It's like all five of us have very different music tastes and inspirations. Like, yours would be,
I'm very rock heavy, punk, nearly metal sometimes, from a drummer's perspective, where your music would be different. Luke's would be very different. He's very into
and again, Rue again would have been very active kind of before the band, in terms of, I suppose, singer-songwriter style of songwriting. Like, he would have been solo with the guitar for a while and kind of on the open mic scene in terms of that.
You can hear that in some of our music.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And Luke kind of would have been the same, but again, he has very interesting musical influences. He plays a lot of kind of neo-soul and even flamenco guitar. Yeah, he's very interested in
Spanish
as well.
Guitar,
And let's talk about your song that we are going to listen to in a bit, that is also the featured song of the week, Meet Me in the Morning.
So that was a song that Rue had originally written as, I suppose, a solo singer-songwriter. It was very different when he was doing it by himself. I think it was very much, again, like kind of straight up, there's very little dynamism you can add with just a guitar and vocals.
Exactly, yeah.
It's more the heart that goes into it. Whereas we kind of, he came to the band with that song and was like, I think if we were to approach this from a band perspective, uh-huh. with all the different influences coming into it, it will take a very different form and shape. And I think that comes through.
Yeah, it came out well, yeah. Like, we completely changed it from where he had it originally.
I completely agree. In fact, I think it really works. And I would like to allow everybody to listen to Meet Me in the Morning, Don't Mind.
With her quietness, with her quickness, she led me on to bed. She said, come and rest your little spirit, Lord, where you rest your head. No, don't worry about the darkness, what the night has in store. No ghosts, ghouls, unholy childs are waiting at the door. And I know you think I'm angry, that I'm hollow, that I'm mean, but I'm just like a man you don't think I am. Hold you till you're seen. And I know you're tired of waiting, 'cause I'm sick of waiting too.
Ray, welcome back. We just heard together Meet Me in the Morning with Don Minda. We have Barry today and Sean, two of the five people of the music band Don Minda. So guys, how do you feel? Are you happy to stay here?
Absolutely delighted.
Yeah, it's great.
It still feels surreal, I suppose, being described as a musician.
But yes. I'm not used to it yet. Yeah.
Okay, so amazing. I really like Meet Me in the Morning. Is also the featured song of the week. So the song will be played across the radio network, composed by Indie Re. But in this part of the interview, I would like to talk about your debut EP, Don't Mind That.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. Kind of clear up the name confusion.
Yeah, the name confusion. Yeah, if I remember well, there are five songs
yes
in general and the first one okay we already heard Meet Me in the Morning once again and You Never Told Me About Him, but there are other three songs. Can you tell us something about the
yes so I get the second track on the EP is called She Got Into Bergheim or Bergain. So that's a song Luke wrote about essentially, again, I suppose a fictitious character you'd yep. meet on a night out, mm-hmm. which is just the coolest girl you've ever met in your life, who's yeah. done everything, knows everyone, has very high opinions of herself. Yeah. And I suppose the thrust of the song is about the fact that you immediately fall in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Which we tend to do.
Yeah. But it's a cool song. It's, I think, an example of the various different styles we have.
Yeah.
Huh. Like, it kind of starts off very kind of light.
Chill.
Chilled out, kind of, again, I know some neo-soul influences are in that. Yeah. But then there's sections of the song that are very much coming yeah. from our background in terms of rock
and
even,
it's punk. Heavier some parts, isn't
it? And I think that really drives the song forward. I think there's a balance to be struck there again, because we are changing back and forth between styles in terms of the same song. So there was a lot of collective work went into that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a...
Yeah, it's cool. It's something that I really like about your style, because there are different styles and then you create your own one that I think it's like the key. I don't want to say of your success that I wish to you, of course, but if I have to bet one penny on you, it's like this one, the fact that your diversity, let's say, it's what it's really the best part of it. Are you working on an album?
We are in the stage of writing an album at the moment. We probably have, I would say, five songs.
Yeah, we have a good few songs already. Yeah.
That we are actively performing that we could, I suppose, record tomorrow. But we are planning to do an album this year. But we do need, I suppose, to flesh that out again. We could do a five-track EP again straight away, but
we need another few songs, an album. Get back into the studio probably pretty quickly. Yeah, that process is long.
It is. Yeah. That was it. It was our first. The EP was our first experience of like formally recording.
Yeah, for sure. And like a five-track piece, it's a lot of work. A lot of work goes into it and takes time.
Yeah.
We didn't realize how much time it takes. We had great ambitions of getting it out quickly.
That was not realistic. We were very, I suppose, naive in terms of the level of work that goes into it.
100%.
But yeah, that was it. I suppose we recorded two singles this time last year. And we very much recorded those in one of the lads' shed with very basic equipment.
Yeah. So the quality is different than the EP, obviously. Yeah,
that's it. We're still very happy with the sound of them. But again, I think the jump in quality between those original singles and the EP is something we're delighted with.
Wow. Somebody's coming. Do you have any plans like playing music somewhere?
Yes.
In Ireland or in Europe, why not?
Yes, so at the moment our next gig is next week, the week after. It's like the 18th of April in The Grace in London. Yeah. So we are supporting Isaac Butler. So we're delighted to get that shout. He's a great guy, very talented musician, and reached out to us, I suppose, to open for him in terms of that. So
first international gig.
Yeah.
Not in Dublin.
We're delighted with that. Yeah. And again, Stephen has been flying from London to Dublin. So it's nice that we're
flying to him for once.
Yeah, returning the favour.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. We're very excited for that. And then we are, I suppose, our aspiration this summer is to get a couple of festival spots. Mm-hmm. We've had nothing confirmed there yet, so unfortunately can't announce that now, but fingers crossed, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think it's the case of the keep in touch, and in order to stay in touch with you, let me remind your social media. I think you are very active on Instagram and Twitter or X or whatever. Don't mind the official, so the spelling is D-O-M-I-N-D-A official.
Yeah. Don't mind official, so yeah. Again, don't mind that. D-O-M-I-N-D-A is very much something we could turn into a chant, I suppose.
Yes, we probably should.
No, I think it's cool when you know so the real meaning, so it makes completely sense, of course. Yeah. Me, that I come from Italy, the first time I read, you know, like the name of your band, is Dominda.
Yeah. Someone asked me that originally, is there, I suppose, someone asked, is there like Spanish influences in the band or something like that? Yeah.
But that's why the EP is called Don't Mind That.
Don't Mind
Just
That.
Just to clear up the confusion, which everyone seems to have.
I can give you like a suggestion. I don't know if making sense or not, but you can release like a parallel project called Dominda with some Mediterranean influence.
Maybe, yeah. I don't, Luke would definitely have that.
He'd love that.
Luke plays. It's like I don't know. Well, I'm a bit older than as well. I'm a. More older than you. I'm older than you, so by the way.
Ah, no, a few minutes.
But I still have memories of like vinyls and tapes. And usually, especially with vinyls, like the tape B, no, the B side, was like the experimental or like the crazy part of. You can do the same, no? Dominda and Dominda.
That's it. We've played a few of our songs. Like, again, when we're, I suppose, practicing and we're bored, we sometimes will say, let's try and do this in a completely different style.
Yeah, sense.
I think
sometimes it works.
We played Meet Me one of the days in kind of like a reggae style. Again, not something I think we could pull off in front of anybody. But
we could try.
Yeah.
Well, Dominda, no? Dominda, yes.
Exactly. The sub-project.
Okay, super cool. Guys, unfortunately, we are at the end of this interview. I would like to invite you for one of the next episodes of Indire. Why not? I would like to leave the as a final song of this interview. You never told me about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any words about...
Yeah, so I suppose the song is... this one was written together between Luke and Rue.
Yeah, kind collectively.
Of wrote it together.
Is that a real story?
No, I think it's a fictitious account. It's not a million miles off the truth. But again, the story of the song is about Luke and Rue falling in love with the same woman.
Yeah.
And naturally becoming more jealous of one another than they are. They're not paying any attention to the woman by the end of it. They're similarly just focused on, I suppose, masculine energy by the end of the song.
And it happens.
No, it does. It becomes more about stags butting horns.
Yeah, essentially.
But it's a cool song. It's very, I suppose, funky.
Yeah, it's more groovy than the other songs on
absolutely.
The EP.
Again, I know your drums in it are very tight.
And like it's very straight, drive the whole song forward, bring it to a place where it needs to be.
Yeah, it's almost like a hip hop beat.
Yeah, exactly.
I can confirm it's not a drum loop, that is Sean.
Yeah, that is actually me playing.
Okay, guys, thank you very much once again. Let's listen to Together. You Never Told Me About Him, and please come back very soon.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, cheers,
Patrick. Bye.
Maybe I'm just paranoid, but I swear I sense a vibe. There's something in the way your eye keeps catching his. And now I'm trying to play cool, act like it don't faze me. Said it's a shit show, my mind's gone crazy, baby. Tell me who the fuck's this prick. You tell me there's history, yeah, but there's no need to worry, nah, nah, nah. Now there's no need to worry. So why'd you never tell me about him?
The mind stopped by pause that you were holding on. What it cost you? And was it really worth what it lost you? And now I'm trying to play it tame, trying to play it smooth. It wasn't quite the same, it wasn't quite the move. We were going strong and we were being regular, but every story told, baby, you were just an editor, a predator. I only came here to win. You only came here for sin. You never told me about it.
Episode today, I hope you enjoyed it in the same way I loved it. I'll catch up with you in 8 weeks. In the meantime, don't forget to do crosswords at least 10 minutes per day. Love you, don't forget me, e ciao.
Independent Radio Exchange Network. Radio Show. Co-funded by the European Union. More at indire.eu.